Pastor Dave Rolf has us consider some of the ways we can use what we've been given for the glory of God.
What you have, are you using it? Because I can tell you, like for instance, people who have a boat, if every once in a while they get a family that they know could never afford to go on a boat, and they just go, hey, let's go out, let's go down to the lake and water ski, or you can just put your kids in a little raft and we'll pull it behind the boat and something like that. That will be the happiest time you ever have on your boat, is when you do something like that. Because God says, give it back to me and I will give it back to you better.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hand and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Malachi chapter 3 poses the question, will a man rob God? And then goes on to tell us how we do that by failing to give back to the Lord. We're also given a wonderful promise that if we do give to God, He'll bless us in return. We typically relate this to our giving of money to the Lord, but Pastor Dave Rolf believes there are some other areas we should consider too, like our time and talents. Today on The Balanced Word, thoughtfully consider, are you robbing God and missing out on the blessings He wants to bring your way?
We all have the same amount of time, right? I mean, we have 24 hours a day. We don't know how long our life is going to be, but every day we get up and we know we have a certain number of hours. That's a beautiful gift. In the end of your life, it ends up that your time is more valuable to you than anything else. Very rich people would give all their money in order to get a little bit more time. So time is a precious commodity that God gives us. But as we read the scriptures and as we grow in our relationship with God, we find out that sometimes He asks us to give some time back in the same way. And then He promises, if you do this, then I am going to make your time even more fruitful. I'm going to make your days feel longer. I'm going to make your life longer if you will give me time. Now, one of the most basic ways that God did this was, and He ties it in with creation, actually, and says, it's good for you to take a day off. Now, for the Jews, they all did it on the same day, Friday night to Saturday night, the Sabbath. So it was the seventh day. Sabbath means seventh. I don't believe we're commanded to do that. I don't believe that our Sabbath transferred to Sunday necessarily either. Because if this is my Sabbath, I work harder today than I do any other day, so it would be a pretty lousy Sabbath for me. But God says, will you give me a day? And if you say, okay, I'll give you a day, what do you want me to do with it? What does God say? Nothing. I want you to do nothing. And yet that's such a sacrifice for us. It's so hard for us. Now, some people have turned it into a way of life. Some people have no problem with inactivity, but those people don't get up till third service, so I know it's not you. But how hard it is to just take a break. And yet God says, if you will just shut your life down for a period of time, and they had times each week and each year and every 7 years and every 50 years where it would be like, okay, do nothing. I don't deal very well with doing nothing. So I'm filling the time. But God says, will you trust me with at least a seventh of your time? Now, for some people, Sabbath may work from an afternoon one day to the afternoon the next. You figure it out your own. The question is there time you set aside to do nothing or to just recreate the energy and all that you have in your body where you're not doing anything because you have to. You're doing what you is just gives you pleasure because it gives God pleasure to give back to you. The crazy thing is you will be more productive taking a legitimate Sabbath, a legitimate day off. You will find out that in those other 6 days, you're way more fruitful than when you work all the time. Because we've all had those times when we're just sitting there at our desk going, I am so drained, I don't even know what to do. Okay, eBay.com, you know, Craigslist, you know, oh, I wonder what's going on the news since 10 minutes ago when I checked Drudge Report. And I, you know, because we become unfruitful because we just won't shut it down. And a part of God's relationship with us is for us to say, I trust you to take care of the things that I don't take care of on my Sabbath, on my break, on my day off. And so I believe you'll take care of it. And now I'm going to be content with just doing nothing or just doing something fun or energizing or whatever. And it ends up God blesses you. You can sometimes just look at somebody and tell if they take a day off because we're drained. Life just sucks the life out of us. I think God would say, if you haven't taken a day off in a while, you're robbing me. And it's like, wait, God, what are you, how can I be robbing you? Yeah, because he gave you those days and you wouldn't give one back. And so now he can't stretch them. He can't help you to be productive in the times when you are working because you've chosen to reject what he has told you to do. And so that's one thing that I thought, you know, if I'm not stealing money from him, I may be stealing time, and time is really even more valuable than money. Sometimes you steal time by just wasting time. It is not a Sabbath to spend the day watching TV, even something like football games. I consider watching football important. I consider it the work of the Lord, but I don't count it as my Sabbath. Because you know, like, January 1st, if you watch those games, you know, the semifinals, the national championship and everything, and you're like, yes, you know, I want Jameis Winston to go down. And I, by the end of the day, you're going to be like, oh, that's not a Sabbath. A Sabbath is just going, I am going to take it easy because God wants me to this day. Take a break. Just let it go and let him take care of it. If we don't do that, we're robbing God. And what happens when you rob God? You rob yourself. Because with all of his heart, he wants to bless us. If we refuse to allow him to bless us by us doing what he tells us to do, we rob him of his capacity to bless us. And then we walk around like, man, I'm so cursed. And people are like, you're one of the unluckiest people in the world. You'd rather be a person who's like, people look at you and go, you're really lucky. Even though you have great challenges in your life and you don't have everything that everyone would want, man, it looks like you're not in a hurry and you're blessed. So the second area that kind of hit me a bit that I thought about where I think some of us may rob God is in our bodies. You know, the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, take care of it. Now, in order to really take care of your body, there are certain sacrifices that you have to make. If you just eat whatever junk people put in front of you, if you eat whatever you first think of, like, you know what sounds good is this. How does your body feel after all of that? Ooh. It destroys your body to continue to eat whatever you want to eat and not be willing to make sacrifices and eat in a healthier way is destroying our bodies. And not only that, a simple thing like exercise. We sometimes avoid it like the plague, like it's the worst thing in the world. And it is, it sometimes isn't pleasant, but what if we just, every time we pulled into a store parking lot, instead of, you know, spending 40 minutes driving back and forth, looking, oh, I see an opening, put your blinker on, so nobody better take that. And later somebody snakes you on it and you're thinking, I might just key that car. And you're getting more anxious and you're getting more stressed. What if you just took the first parking space you see way out there, walk an extra 50 yards and feel like, this feels good to get out and breathe and stretch my legs a little bit and all of that. I, You know, instead of just dreaming of the day when you're in such bad shape that you can get a handicap sticker so that you can park up close. But what do? God makes it really clear throughout the scriptures. By the way, you read the Old Testament law, more of it is about what you eat than about anything else. Because there are sacrifices that you need to make. For them living in the desert, if they wanted to stay healthy, they needed to stay away from ham sandwiches, because ham's not doing good out there in the wilderness. So same for us. There are things that we just have to go, I'll give that up. Now, it doesn't mean you never eat a piece of cake, but it means, you know, just that's not your normal diet. And for many of us, I know for me, there are times when I'm like eating, there's a donut that's been sitting out in the kitchen for, you know, all day. And it's like, here I am, I'm taking a bite of it going, this doesn't even taste good. Or you're, you know, it's Christmas and you find yourself munching on some cheap store-bought cookies. Look, if it's Christmas and somebody made some really good homemade cookies, yeah, knock yourself out with one or even a half of one. You'll feel much better. But we sit there and eat stuff that we don't even like it when we're eating it. We're at a restaurant loosening our belt and like, I've got to eat until it hurts. That's the way I live. But to give to God the gift of, I'm seeing my body as being your temple, and therefore I want to take care of it. Now, some people work really hard to stay in shape for all the wrong reasons. The reason to eat right and exercise isn't so that you think that you're going to still look hot when you're older, because you're not. I mean, if all you care about is how you look, some people even look better fat, you know, because it takes the wrinkles out. But this isn't about that. This is about, what if you making sacrifices with your body means that you live longer, you have more time with your family, you have a better quality life, there are more things that you can do. God ends up giving back to you with strength and vitality and longevity if you make some sacrifices physically. If you choose not to do that, it doesn't just affect you. It affects what God is able to do for you, and you are actually stealing from him, because if you don't take care of your body, you're not taking care of his body. And the scriptures tell us that the church is his body. So do we take care of it as if it really is what the Bible says it is? Or do we get flippant? Most of us, the younger we are, the more casual we get about things like this. But do we just want to rip him off? Trust me, when you get older, you know, you'll feel like, I wish I had said no to certain things. I wish I had got off my butt and out and exercised a little bit. Like I saw one time the guy that played Uncle Charlie on My Three Sons, which most of you aren't even old enough to remember, but he was like 97 and he was on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and Johnny goes, so what have you learned in all these years? And he said, well, Johnny, I'll tell you one thing. If I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken much better care of myself. We don't have to be that guy. The object isn't just how long can you live. It's like, how much life do you have in your living? How much energy are you feeling every day? Because that's what God wants to give you. And the fruit of taking care of your body is that God makes that a blessing. And he goes, this is what I wanted you to do, because I want you to feel the way you feel right now, not the way you were feeling the day after Christmas. So there are some other areas, I think, where we rob God as well. One of them is the area of our talents and gifts. We all have certain things that we do well. We all have gifts that God has given us. But do we use them? Are we serving God with the capacities that we have? Are we looking at what we have and saying, how could this be used to bless others, for instance? Now, there are a lot of people who are blessed, cursed, however you want to look at it, with owning stuff that you don't use very much. When it comes to boats, the old saying, the two happiest days in a boat owner's life, the day you buy it and the day you sell it. But you're like, I don't want to sell it, because I can't get anything for it. Motorhomes are kind of the same way. You look on, I like looking on Craigslist under RVs, not because I'm going to buy one, but I love seeing that there's a 30-year-old RV that has 12,000 miles on it, and I think you paid $100,000 for that thing, and now you're trying to sell it for $2,000, and nobody even wants it. Okay, so let's just say you're somebody who foolishly bought a boat or an RV or a bunch of motorcycles or whatever. You could get rid of it, and that might be a good thing, but you also could go, well, I got this, so I wonder if I can bless other people with it. I mean, if you have a boat, how about just talking to families that you know and go, why don't you come out on our boat? Your kids would love it. I'll teach them to water ski, or we'll go out sailing in the ocean and just enjoy the vastness of God's creation, because I got this anyway. So let's use it. Here, let me let you, you know, you can borrow it if you want, or I'll teach you how to do. Redeem that. So the stuff that you have, the possessions that you have, the abilities that you've acquired, like if you're an athlete and you haven't done it for a long time, volunteer to coach in some youth athletic thing. Was it worth all the time you spent on a sport? Only if you use it. Otherwise, just to sit and tell lies and stories about how great you were. And nobody likes that. You know, nothing, especially somebody who like looks like they can't even get out of their chair and walk to their car, and you're saying what a great athlete you used to be. That's kind of reverse bragging, really. But what you have, are you using it? Because I can tell you, like for instance, people who have a boat, if every once in a while they get a family that they know could never afford to go on a boat, and they just go, hey, let's go out, let's go down to the lake and water ski, or you can just put your kids in a little raft and we'll pull it behind the boat and something like that. That will be the happiest time you ever have on your boat, is when you do something like that. Because God says, give it back to me and I will give it back to you better. If you've worked really hard to learn certain skills and then you can use those skills to bless someone else, that's how it pays. That's how God blesses you. So if you have whatever gifts that you might have, whatever abilities, capacities, knowledge, or junk that you may have, if you can find a way to actually give it, you'll find that God will give it back to you. He'll take your gift and he'll multiply it, and it'll be the time that you enjoy it the most and you're the most blessed. Another area I thought of is relationships. Your marriage, your family, your friends, people that you're connected with. The way relationships work is the more you put into a relationship and the more you sacrifice to it, just like our relationship with God, the more it comes back to you. And so God has given you, there are certain people that you know, that you even love. But how much are you investing in that relationship? How much are you saying, you're a priority to me? How often do you just take the chance to go down your email list or your text message list and go, who should I encourage right now? Because they may need it really hugely at this time. And you don't know it. You know, there are people, I know, I remember when things like when my mom died, there were people that I hardly knew who sent me little text messages or emails just saying, hey, I'm sorry, I'm praying for you. It meant so much. It drew me to those people. It's never the same. At the same time, when you are there for someone, when they are going through a hard time, there's a relationship that's just binded together in those kind of an opportunities. And you know what? You are the beneficiary of that. Yeah, they are the beneficiary, but you're the beneficiary also. So to look at relationships that you have, and instead of whining about, I don't have any real friends, make some. If you want to have friends, be friendly. Reach out to some people in your life. Give some time to your family and see what happens. It's for sure ends up being a bigger blessing back on you, but God's going, you need to make the first move. And when you do, look what I'm going to give back. I have a friend who happens to be here from back east today, Kelly, and she's, when she was in high school, and I knew her from when she was growing up, but she went through some major medical trials, ended up with a transplant, and she's doing great now. But I remember I was just so drawn to what she was going through. It was so scary for her. I was there at the hospital the night that she was taken in, and we thought she might die, and I'm there with her dad. Her mom was out of town, and it was a tough time. But then I just started hanging out with her. Almost every day I would go down to the hospital. She was in Hogue forever. And I would just sit there and tell her stories, and she was a funny kid, and so she was asking, like, "Dave, do you have any switchblades?" And I go, "Yeah, I'll give you one." So I got a switchblade. Then she goes, "You got any brass knuckles?" So I got her brass knuckles, and I taught her how to pick locks. And I mean, we just spent hours doing that, and she filled me in on every Seinfeld that I hadn't seen, and we just spent time. You know, to this day, even though I see her once or twice a year, she's one of my best friends because of the time that we spent. And when I see her, I don't feel like, gosh, I don't know you. It's like she and her husband were, this is when I see him, it's like, gosh, this is a treasure to me. God blessed me. You know, it wasn't like I just gave to her and then good for her. It was like God gave more to me from all of that than I gave to her. That's the way relationships work. So take a look at your life and see if you can divert your schedule a little bit in order to just pour into someone's life a little bit. Do you realize that you're going to be blessed? And that's what God wants. He wants you to have great friendships.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolf is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. Hey, we have new service times here at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. We hope to see you sometime soon. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. As we return to Pastor Dave, he has us consider what we're doing on the job.
Okay, the fifth one is your vocation. What do you do or what did you do for a living? Now, there are some people who just go, "Oh, that's not a problem because I don't work." If you can work and you don't, you're cursed. In fact, God says you shouldn't eat if you don't work, as long as you're able to work. But do you work just because you have to? Or do you take your opportunity and your knowledge and that which you have that God gave you, he gave you that job. How much are you willing to put into it to be the best employee at your work, to find new and creative ways to do your job more effectively? Can you do that? Are you doing that? Or are you just like, "I'm putting in my time"? You know, you see some people at work that they're just watching the clock, waiting to go home. Well, that's a good way to not be blessed in your work. It's a great way to be less successful, ultimately to end up losing your job. Now, again, if you have no desire to work at all, then you're cursed. Simple as that. God would like you to go out and try to do something with your life. There's a gal in our church who, she was here last service, and I saw her out there and thought of this. She's a crossing guard. Now, she's capable of doing a whole lot more, and she's just, that's the best job she can find right now. But she does it really diligently, and she'll email me and, oh, pray for the kids as they're walking today because it's going to rain. But also, she's just started reaching out and talking to people. And God's made her into like a missionary for several Muslims who walk across the street where she goes, and they're talking to her about faith and things like that. And she's not shoving it down their throats, but she isn't just a crossing guard, she's a missionary in that position. Every one of us has those opportunities. What do you do with your work?
We'll finish up Dave Rolf's study, Robbing God, next time on The Balanced Word. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and knees.